enjoy the music and the enthusiasm and add to that. But the classes go up to fifth grade, and so help get them here. If we need to pick them up on the bus, if you will call me and let me know, I will get one of our bus workers and make sure they get by and pick them up. But that's going to be 7 to 9, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and again, Wednesday, we will finish up the evening with a hot dog cookout for all the parents and all the adults that are involved, okay? Come be a part of it. We need all the help we can get, plus we need as many adults just to be there for enthusiasm, and so come be a part of it, okay? All right, with that being said, I'm going to let Misha come, and she's going to just share some things with us over the next little bit, and so we'll enjoy that.
Привіт. Так рада бути з вами. О, так я скучала по вас. Очень-очень скучала. О, я понимаю. That is the best way to get everybody's attention, especially kids. So what I said was, it is so good to be with y'all, and how I miss being here all the time. I really do. But, and then when he started coming up here, I'm like, I understand. I want to share a song with y'all. It's one of my very, very favorites. That was the first song I learned in the Russian language when I went to Ukraine. Wow. In 2004. That's a lot of years ago. My first time in Ukraine. Y'all know it. So I'm going to sing it in Russian, and y'all try to figure it out in English. You'll get it right away. Великий Бог, когда на мир смотрю я, на все, что ты создал твою рука, на все существ, кого свой свет даруя, питаешь ты любовью Отца. Тогда поет мой дух, Господь, тебе, как ты велик, как ты велик. Тогда поет мой дух, Господь, тебе, как ты велик, как ты велик. Didn't take y'all long to figure it out. Alrighty, we are going to travel across the world. I got to do that in June. I did a vacation Bible school, and they had it set up where the kids walked down a hall, and it looked like they got on an airplane, and they walked down the hall and could see out the airplane windows, came around the corner into the country of Ukraine. It was the funnest thing. I've gotten to do several vacation Bible schools this summer, and it is the best thing ever to get to take kids in their imagination and their minds to the other side of the world and get them out of their little comfort zone and their own little world and show them the rest of the world and how God is moving and serving there. I'm going to do that with y'all tonight. So, I don't know if y'all can see these. There's a little bitty dot in the middle of a green country. Did you, Victoria, did you by any chance bring the light? I forgot to ask you. Okay, that's okay. Okay, come with me. All right, over here is that little green country. I hope y'all can see it. That's Ukraine. That big yellow part is Russia. And there's a little bit of yellow and blue dot. That's about where I live in the country. I live about an hour and a half from the Belarusian-Russian border line by car. It's only an hour and a half up there. And so we're going to talk about some other parts of Ukraine that I travel around to. The orphanage is closer to the border than that. And Komarivka Orphanage that I go to all the time. Next one. Oh, this one. I love this sign. This is when I take my car out every year and I cross back into the border. This is the sign I see. So I poke that in there. Go ahead. Komarivka Orphanage. I've been working there now for 14 years. Minus 2022, when I got stuck here for a year. So we'll go ahead. There's going to show you a few pictures of the kiddos. This is when I got to go back in 23. I got to see my girls, and man, they grew up. And then these are three of my Henri little boys. We've got Yarik, Artyom, and Bodya, and they're standing in front of the orphanage classrooms. This is Vika and Anya. I'm going to the next. And these are some more of my girls. Some of them have already graduated. We've got Tanya and Anya and Nastya. And they graduate out in the ninth grade. Nastya was only 15 when she graduated out of the orphanage. And she's going to go on to a trade school. I don't know what she's decided yet, but she'll go into the trade school this fall. Go ahead. This is where the kids go when the sirens go off. And to give you a little bit of an idea of what we hear, I think I've done this before with y'all, but we're gonna do it again. Oh, there's a siren going on right now. Kiev's under alert, by the way.
Attention, air raid alert. Proceed to the nearest shelter.
That goes on for about 3 minutes. Okay, I shouldn't have looked at that. Kiev's under attack right now. Whew. That goes on for about 3 minutes outside our windows, loud enough to wake people up. And then we just find out through our phones what's coming in and when and where and all of that. They try to keep us updated as much as they can. When the kids hear that siren, this is where they go. If it's daytime, they go down under the dormitories to a classroom. And the next one is where they sleep at night. Right now, there's only 35 kids that actually stay on the orphanage property all the time. There's 48 enrolled. Some of them live in the villages. When I first went there, there was over 150. And through the years, it's gotten smaller. But this orphanage will be closing. This is its last year. And they are sending kids back to their families. If they have any living relative, they are sending them back there. Doesn't matter the situation they came from or what they're going back to. They do not want the responsibility of taking care of these children in this government-run orphanage. So I will be working with a new orphanage that is partly funded by the government and partly just an amazing, incredible man, young man who has opened his heart to the orphans of Ukraine. And he's a Ukrainian guy, and he is someone that I'm praying that the Lord will lead to the Lord and we can work through that orphanage. This is something I miss. You see those big tents up there? I miss summer camp. We can't do that anymore because you have to be in your home for curfew at midnight, and you cannot leave before 5 o'clock in the morning. And so summer camp is out the window for us now. And this was 2021, our last summer camp. We had about 50 kiddos. I had 9 Americans and several of my Ukrainians in the group there for our last summer camp. I know I've showed y'all this picture before. I wanted to remind you, this is Kolya in the pink and Maxime in the blue. Kolya is now living in Poland. He was able to get out of the country. We were able to help him get out before he turned 18 years old so that he will not have to serve in the military. Maxime is living in Kyiv, and I've been able to see him a couple of times, but I keep in touch with both of these boys. And they have heard the gospel countless times, but they have yet to accept Christ. This is Ali. He was one of my first kids to accept Christ. This is Savior. And this is a picture he came to see me in February. And Ali is currently studying in a seminary in Western Ukraine to be a pastor. Isn't that fun? Okay, we'll go to the next one. These are my two boys, my sons, my Sasha and Sergei. Sergei is the tall one, and he loves every inch of it, pesters me to no end. And then Sasha's over there. My niece Amy went to Ukraine with me last year for 2 weeks. And she got these guys all Texas outfitted. They've got Texas Ranger things. She bought them the little thingies and the shirts. So they were as happy as they could be. Sasha right now, he needs prayer. All of Ukraine needs prayer, but Sasha has been put on the red list. He called me last Sunday, very upset, the red list with the military, and he doesn't understand why. He has not received a draft card, and he hasn't been called to report. He hasn't done anything, but he is now on the red list. And so he has stopped working and is at home in the apartment, and he plans on doing that for the next 2 weeks until we get some answers as to what happens next. So please pray for wisdom in that area and pray that Sasha doesn't get caught, because if police or the military patrol that's all over the city, if they see him, they can ask for his passport. They will see he's on the red list, and they will take him right then and there. They will confiscate his telephone. Ooh, this is hard to even think about. They will take him, and they will send him into training to go to the war, to the front lines. There is no in-between or moving up or anything. When you're caught, you go to the front lines. And that is where I lost one of my boys last year and another boy this year. And Sasha does not want to go. He says, I won't be able to kill anyone, and I don't want to die. So please be in prayer for that. I don't know what God's answer is for this or what God's will is for this. And I just keep telling Sasha, you got to trust him. You got to trust him. And I have to, too. So we go on. This was that infamous day of the invasion. The war started in 2014, 11 years ago. I was there, and it has not stopped a day since then. Down in the Donbass, Donetsk area, which we will hear more about, the Russian army invaded down there, and there has been fighting every day since. In 22, they invaded, we call it the full invasion, into Kyiv. The next few pictures will just flow through. These are some of the buildings around the city that have been hit. We're gonna skip this one. This was a hotel, and it is 5 blocks from my apartment. And a drone hit the front of it and wiped out some rooms and the front desk. Thankfully, no one was in those rooms and no one was injured that day. But that one was kind of close. I was not there when that one hit. I'm very thankful for that. But Sasha said it shook the apartment windows. We'll go on. This is our church. That looks like a pretty big church building. And it is. It's very, very big. We meet in the basement of that church. We have made the basement into a small auditorium. The second floor, or the first floor where the stairs are, that is our Sunday school rooms and offices. The big window part with the cross is an empty shell of a building. We were working on building an auditorium there, but funding stopped when the invasion happened, and so everything's on hold for now. Someday, we'll have an actual auditorium. But for now, we have an overflow room where we have a TV, and those folks that come in late either stand at the back or they go sit in the overflow room and watch the service on TV. This is my pastor and his wife, Tanya. This is Nikolai and Tanya. I've talked to y'all about Nikolai before. Nikolai needs some encouragement and a lot of prayer. He's dealing with not just our church, but he is pastoring some other churches whose pastors left the country when the invasion happened, and the churches say, no, we don't want you back. And so he is filling in for a lot of churches right now. We'll go on. This is our youth pastor and his wife, Bogdana. Slavik was ordained in June, and he is now one of our pastors of our church. He's an assistant pastor now. So we'll go on. These are my right-hand people, Jean and Gleb. I'm sure I've told you all about them before. God put them into my life about 8 years ago, and I don't know what I would do without them. Gleb, unfortunately, is also on the red list, but his documents are right now going through the courts, and so it's kind of on hold. But he could also be taken at any time. So they live in constant fear of him being taken. Go ahead. This is one of the ministries I get to do. It's English class, and we have actually had some young people come into our church who have never wanted to come to church, but they came into the church building for English class, and they have started coming to church, and one girl has joined our youth group through this. The next picture is our children's English classes, and the same thing with Sunday school. They invite their friends to come to English class, and through that, they come into the church, and so it's a good outreach ministry. And then we have a lot of military ministries that we do. We do a lot of outreach to the military. The next picture is, we have this going on from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. Volunteers from all over the city come and tie these nets. They come in little strings that look like a chain link fence. They're very lightweight. We stretch them out on these boards, and we tie bows on them and weave pieces in and out. The military, our guys from our church, they say we need this size for a tank, this size for a bunker, this size for a shelter, and we spend hours doing that and send it to them. Another thing that we're doing is I am heading up a sewing ministry in our church for the military. That is actually my sewing machine in my sewing room at home. And I am making what they call gaiters that go over their pants so that when they're trudging through the snow and the mud, their pants might stay dry. That's our hope. And we also sew balaclavas for them in the wintertime to keep their heads warm. And it's just an outreach ministry that we can do. We also go out to the hospitals and we visit the soldiers. We have different teams in our church that go out every other week and they visit certain soldiers and certain brigades that we're connected with. And so that's just some of the ministries we've got. This was Easter Sunday. We had two soldiers show up on Easter Sunday. We don't know where they were from. Nobody knew them. They just heard about our church and showed up. And then there was another young man. His name was Sasha. I had met at the hospital when I went to went visiting. And he came that Sunday morning and stayed around. And his roommate is someone that I made a pillow for his leg on his wheelchair. Anyway, he was supposed to come, but he didn't come, but his roommate, Sasha, came. The following week, that gentleman, Oleg, he had heard from Sasha how amazing it was, and so he decided to come the next Sunday. And he came in a taxi. I don't know how in the world he got himself and a wheelchair in a taxi, but he came to church. He was a little disappointed, though, because he thought I was going to be there. I was actually on an airplane back to America that day. So I am looking forward to seeing him, but I have heard that there have been several soldiers show up at our church. So this is my newest ministry that God has allowed me to be a part of. This is the Donetsk and Donbass area. Donetsk was taken over in 2014. It is the southeastern part of Ukraine. And if we could scroll in, you could see bullet holes all over that area. This part was under occupation at one point, and we were able to get it back, and they have moved them back several villages and cities back from this. But we stopped here and took a picture. This is what we take with us. We take fruits and vegetables in the summertime. We take clothing. We take socks. We take very nice, warm, what do you call it? Things you put on your hand. Gloves. They're not pechotkis for y'all. They're gloves for y'all. Anyway, anything that they ask for that we can get, we search around, we find sponsors, and we get what they need. And this is a ministry that then I think the next picture shows, yes, this is Chaplain Oleg. He and his team from his church, which is a sister church of our church, came to our church in October of last year, and they presented their work that they do. Every 3 weeks, they go down to the front lines or the Donetsk area. And it's about 20 miles-ish from the actual front lines. And they serve soldiers. And I asked my pastor, I said, are Americans allowed down there? And he said, I think so. So I asked Oleg if I could go, and he said, absolutely. So I have gone several times, and I absolutely love it. So we'll go on. What we do is we take all this stuff for them, and we feed them a hot meal, 2 days of this cooking soup. It's kind of like a beef stew. It's the closest thing we've got. And it takes about 4 hours to cook one of these. Now, this pot is as big as this entire pulpit. The smallest one we have is 170 liters. The biggest one is 280 liters. That's huge. And so the guys stand around and wait for this to be done. And while they're standing around waiting, we get to visit with them. And we've gotten to share the gospel. We'll go on. This is one of the places we set up. This was a video, but it's not going to work for us. This was in February. It was the absolute coldest day. My toes were frozen. But this is down by a city that I visited in 2014 after the invasion started and visited an orphanage down there. And this is the exact same street that I visited in 14. I got to go back to this area. This is just a row of bombed out houses that we found to set up our stuff, because normally we set up in a large parking lot, and they had set up, different people in the area had set up little kiosks for hot dogs and tea and coffee and things. And we drove in one day, we'd been going there for a while, and we drove in one day and there was nothing there. And we started to set up, and the military police came along and said, you can't set up here. This place has been bombed not far from here, and you cannot set up here. So we just kept driving, and this is where we ended up. We set up out there. So, is it going to play? It looked like it. It is. Yay. So this is the area that we set up in. So you'll see some green tents. Those boxes over there is the area where we're giving them just humanitarian aid stuff that they need. And the green tents are where we have tables set up. And then you'll be able to see out there all that smoke. That is our stew cooking. So, I missed it. This weekend they were there, and I didn't get to go. I get to go next month, though. Okay, we'll go on. This is Pasha. He's a 21-year-old young man. They brought a big bus full of soldiers that had just come from the front lines. They had been fighting all night, and they brought them to us. And Pasha was just an absolute nervous wreck. He was crying. He was shaking. As you can see, he has in front of him his rosary beads. He is Orthodox, which is very similar to Catholicism, works-based, all of that. And he spoke Ukrainian. It was hard to understand him, but he told me that he is an orphan, and his father died when he was younger. His mother was killed in the bombings, and when he became an orphan, he decided, there's nothing else for me to do, so I'll go serve my country. And he said, now I can't get out. I can't do anything. This is my life, and I don't want to go back, but I have to. And so I shared the gospel with him that day, and we were giving out Christmas presents, and that yellow bag was full of things from our church. And one of the things that was in there was a mini player, what you call them here. Anyway, it had the Ukrainian Bible on it with the earbuds. And I was able to give him one of those, and I talked to him, and he gave me this little icon. I don't know what kind of saint is inside it, but he said, I want you to have this, and you remember me. And I have that on my desk in my bedroom, and I pray for Pasha. And I would ask you guys to pray for Pasha. As he was leaving, it was time to go back to the bus, and he got up, and we hugged, and he was walking away, and I was standing there, and I could feel the tears. I wasn't crying out loud, but I could feel the tears. He turned around, and he saw me crying, and he said, don't cry. It's going to be okay. Like, wow, wait a minute. Who's comforting who here? Anyway, that's just one of the precious souls I've met. Go on. This is Kvitka, which means flower. She is a medic down there on the front, and we bring her bandages and medicine, anything that we can get. I've had a doctor stop me. They saw the symbol from our ministry group on the back of my van, and she stopped me and she said, hey, do you go down to the front? And I said, yes, I do. She said, I've got medical supplies that I don't need at the hospital, so here, take them to them. And so sometimes that's how God provides. It's pretty awesome. We'll go on. This is Hajj. I do not know his real name, but I know him as Hajj. And he's just one of the guys that I've gotten to meet and visit with there as well. Now, these next few pictures are our military soldiers from our church. I've known Pasha. This is another Pasha. I've known him since he was a little bitty guy, and he is now serving on the front lines. He has been wounded many times. He has had 3 trucks blown out from under him, and how he is alive is only by God's grace and lots of prayer. This next one is Chaplain Artyom and his little daughter, Alia. Alia goes to church with us, and Artyom is serving on the front lines not far from where I go and serve. This is Ilya and his wife, Ira. Ira was our pianist at church, and Ilya is like the sweetest person ever. He wouldn't hurt a fly or a flea. And he sure did try very hard not to go into the military, but they said in the end he had to go. But they allowed him to work on computers, and so he is one of the defense people that works on the computers to shoot down the drones and the missiles that come into the country. They are not in our area anymore. They had to go out into western Ukraine, so we miss them very dearly, but thankfully he's in a safer place. And this is Petro. I have told you all about Petro for 14 years or more. Petro and I have had so many conversations. Some of our latest conversations have been about David, the man of war in the Bible. And a man that actually had another person killed, so that made him a murderer. And yet, he was called a man after God's own heart. And when I told, because Pietro said, I'm a murderer. I go out and I murder every day, and I'm not going to stop. It's my job. I have to do it. And I said, honey, you're not a murderer. You're a defender. You are a warrior, and you are making it so that I can be here, because without you guys on the front lines, I would not be in Ukraine. I would not be able to be here. And you give us a place to sleep at night. It's not quiet, but at least there's no enemy walking the streets. You guys are protecting us. You're protecting me. You're protecting your family. You're protecting your country. And we've talked and talked, and he said, but Misha, I'm a murderer. How can God forgive me for what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do? So he's really battling with this. But what was interesting was I sat and shared the gospel with him and his wife one day, and she had questions. And she said, I don't understand. And he said, no, it's like this. And he sat there and explained it to her. Just like, what's wrong with you, dude? You've got it. You understand. So pray for Petro. He was wounded about 3 weeks ago very badly, and they thought he was not alive for so many times. They've thought he was dead, but he is now in Kyiv and hopefully getting some good medical care. I am anxious to get back to get to see him. Hopefully he'll still be in Kyiv recovering when I get there. This is Vasya. Vasya is one of the little boys from camp. He accepted Christ at one of our camps and several years ago, and he went into the military last fall. And Vasya is missing. The middle of April, he was in a battle, and he has not been found since. They've done a lot of DNA testing on the soldiers that they were able to recover there, and he is not amongst them. We do not know where he is, if he is still alive, or maybe he's in a prison camp somewhere. We don't know, but there is a possibility he just cannot be found because the battle was so bad. His sisters are heartbroken, and they are still hoping and praying that he's just in a Russian military camp, a prison camp, which I don't know if that's better. He would be with the Lord for sure if he's not on this earth. And then my last picture is Tolik. Tolik, I have known since he was in the first grade at the orphanage. Honorious little kid. Spunky, amazing. He was one of our first boys to go into our transition home when he graduated the orphanage. He and my Sasha are best friends. And in September of 23, Tolik joined the military. They sent him to France for 6 weeks to train. Then they brought him back to Kyiv, sent him around for a few weeks, going to different bases and things, getting things settled. And on December 11th of 23, they sent him to the front lines. And when I say the front lines, I mean the front lines. There's something called Zero. And Zero has three sections. Zero has a zero section, which is the absolute front line. And then there's another section of troops that are ready to go in because the front line is going to be mowed down. These troops are ready to go in next. And then the third row of troops to go in. Tolik was in the second group. He went in on the 12th and came back, and he called Sasha on the 13th, and he was joking with him. He said, I may or may not come back tomorrow. He didn't come back the next day. He laid there for 2 days with injuries that could have been taken care of, but the battle was so hot that they could not get to him for 2 days. This is why I love the military and those soldiers. Not because we're fighting against the evil people and all of that, and I want Russia to... No. God placed a love in my heart for the Russian people, and I cannot say this around Ukrainians, but there's still a love for the Russian people in my heart. But God has given me a family in Ukraine, and this was one of my boys, and he is your brother in Christ. We will see him together in heaven. And when Tolik died, somebody said, now he knows your mom. And she knows him because she heard his name many times through the years. And so this is why I go to those soldier boys like Pasha, who is an orphan And right now, he's a true orphan. He doesn't have a Heavenly Father. That is why I get to go to the front lines and serve the soldiers down there, so I can tell them about a Heavenly Father that forgives them, even though it's their job to take a life the next day. And you know what, you guys? All of this started a long time ago when I was 9 years old, but it didn't come to fruition until God led me here. Thank you. Thank you for supporting me mentally, emotionally, financially. Without you guys, I mean, I've been to churches all over the place, but y'all are my family. Every single one of you, I look around here, y'all are my family. We were all back there together. Thank you. I need those prayers to be able to keep telling young men and young women about the Lord so that we get more brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Will you just quickly tell us what your immediate plans are?
Yes.
Or what's going on in the near future?
I am going back to Ukraine on August 20th. I will be flying back. I fly to Poland, and then I catch two trains to go into Kyiv. It takes me 3 days to get there. And then this fall, I will be working on learning the Ukrainian language. I understand a lot of Ukrainian, but I do not speak it. And so I'm going to be taking classes this fall to learn how to speak Ukrainian. And also, my main goal, apart from the soldiers going and visiting them, is going to that new orphanage and working there and continuing to keep up with Komarivka Orphanage. So my fall is going to be very busy, and then winter hits. Yay! Hopefully we'll have electricity and water and gas and all that lovely stuff. So thank you.
Well, obviously we see the work that she's doing and the work that she's done over the years, and many of these names we've heard over and over again and have prayed for. But you know, you look at these war-torn countries and what she was showing, you know, when we got a little spare time, we go play golf or go fish or whatever, and they're sewing nets with camouflage, you know what I mean, and contributing. And so it seems like a different world over there, and really in a lot of ways it is. And so we'd be thankful for what we have. Let's take just a few moments and have a verse of invitation, and if you'll stand with me, if God's spoken to you about anything, if nothing else, we just pray for Misha, pray for the Ukrainian people and that whole conflict over there, that it'll be resolved in some way. And as she said, even both sides of the lines, Russian or Ukraine, there are souls that need Christ Jesus that are dying and they're perishing daily in this conflict. And so let's pray to that end that God would save souls. Okay? As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if God's spoken to you, you want to come pray, come.